In the gradual of the Mass today, it mentions the creation of the world. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever the earth and the world were made, thou art God from everlasting. This is a fact that we take for granted, that God created the world. In fact, probably most of us consider it something so obvious that it hardly needs any proof. But for most people in the world, including most people nowadays who think that they're Catholic, the fact that God created the world out of nothing in 7 days is a fairy tale, like Santa Claus or the Superman. They believe that the universe gradually came to be the way it is now over a period of uncounted eons. They don't know exactly how long it took. Their last guess was that it took about 10 billion years. They also don't know exactly how it happened either, but they just sort of assume that a huge amount of gas that just happened to be lying around, they don't know how, somehow changed itself into different things until finally it turned into the world that we live in today. And they are not disturbed in the least by the lack of an explanation for this process. In fact, for them, it's as true and as obvious as the sun in the sky. No scientist would believe a theory like this on any other subject. He might consider it an interesting hypothesis, but certainly not as a fact. But modern man has a strange attachment to this idea of evolution. And the reason for this is fairly clear. If a person accepts that God created the world, and mankind as well, then it follows that he must have had some purpose in creating us and this universe that we live in. And if he had a purpose in creating us, it follows inevitably that he must have told us what that purpose was so that we would know. And if that's the case, then we have to find out what God has told us, and we have to live our lives according to what he said. Now, someone who rejects the existence of God is stuck with a very perplexing problem. How did we get here? And what are we anyway? And evolution was invented as an attempt to answer that question. And so let's see how well it does that. Now, the myth of evolution states that the universe went from being nothing more than a bunch of very simple gases to being what it is now. This contradicts one of the most basic principles of science. We're speaking about true science here, which is based on observation, which is that any system left to itself will go from being more complex to being less complex. To take a simple example, if you get a glass of hot water and then a glass of ice, and you put them together in an insulated container of some kind, eventually the temperature inside will become the average of the hot water and the ice. They will even out. An insulated container with things in it that are of different temperatures is more complex than one in which everything is the same temperature. If you put two glasses of water that are the same temperature into a box, one will not spontaneously become hot and the other one freeze. It's impossible. And yet the theory of evolution states that the universe went from being a homogeneous mass of gases to being the amazingly beautiful and complicated world that we see today. They answered the objection that things go to being more simple, by saying that given enough time, it's possible. In other words, what would follow from that is that effectively they say that if you put two lukewarm glasses of water into an insulated container and you wait 10 billion years, eventually one will become hot and the other one will freeze. Obviously, that is absurd, and yet that's what evolution entails. In any case, the idea that the universe is that old is based on evidence that is almost exclusively derived from a process that is called carbon-14 dating. For example, when they claim that some bones of a dinosaur are millions of years old, that number is calculated by carbon-14 dating methods. Basically, they measure the amount of a particular type of carbon in the bones. The whole subject is a little bit complicated, and I'm not a scientist, I'm just telling you what I've read. But to make a long story short, the accuracy of the date that is calculated by carbon dating assumes that the amount of carbon in the atmosphere and the ratio between the different types of carbon is fairly consistent, that it has remained the same as long as the world has been here. Well, the problem with that is that a universal flood like the flood of Noah would have dramatically altered the types of carbon in the atmosphere of the Earth, and it would completely change the dates that are calculated by carbon dating. But scientists who don't believe in the Bible obviously don't believe in the flood either, and that's why they think that those bones are so many millions of years old. Whereas if they accepted the flood, they would get a much more recent date by that same calculation. It would turn out that the bones are a couple of thousand years old, which they are. There are an enormous number of scientific arguments against evolution, and unfortunately we don't have time to look at very many of them, but just to look at one or two, take the example of man. If different species evolved by random processes, we would expect a gradual gradation of lower and higher species. That is the law of chance. And that's what we have in a way. There are lower plants and higher plants, and then there are lower animals like worms and little things like that, and then there are higher animals, the highest being monkeys and apes and those sorts of animals. And all of these animals have instincts that they follow blindly and consistently. But then there is man. A human being is not simply more intelligent than the other animals. He is a different kind of creation completely. He has powers that don't exist even in the most primitive form in any other animal, primarily intelligence and free will. And because of this difference, it's just not possible to consider man to be just like the other animals. And yet that's what evolution maintains. It contradicts common sense to say that we are only a smarter version of an ape. We are not only smarter than an ape, we have powers that an ape does not have at all, not even remotely. The closest animal to man, the most intelligent animal, is swinging around in trees in a jungle right now with nothing on its mind other than looking for a banana. And here we are. We are sitting in a church. We are worshiping a God that we can't see. We understand it only intellectually. We communicate with each other by speech. We communicate ideas by speech, which animals don't do. We make machines to simplify our lives. We make beautiful works of art. We love and hate in a way that animals do not even approach. We live in a complex society. We spend a lot of time arguing about what is the best way to live. No animal does even a single one of those things. And so how could one animal evolve into something that is so unique and all the other animals be so much alike in their behavior if the entire process is only the result of chance? When I was in college once, I was riding on a bus with a fellow student who was an atheist, and I made that exact argument. Before my friend could answer, there was a woman sitting a few seats down on the bus who very rudely broke into our conversation at that point. And she just said very simply that man is not smarter than the animals. We just think that we are, but we're really not. I asked her how we could be riding on a bus made by an intelligent human being, and we don't see any other animals riding around in machines that they've made, which they would be doing, obviously, if they were as smart as we are. And she didn't have an answer for that. And yet you see how she had to deny even the evidence of her own senses by saying that man is no smarter than an animal, just simply in order to cling to her belief in evolution. Look at one other example. For all but the lowest forms of life, animals are reproduced with a male and a female. Now, how could such a system come into being in the first place unless both a male and a female had come into being at the same time? And then where did they come from? Who were their parents? Again, there's no answer for this. This is similar to the classic chicken or the egg question, for which there's also no explanation. Examples like this could be multiplied by the hundreds. For all of these difficulties, the proponents of evolution simply make broad assumptions that are based on nothing. For example, if someone asks them how the human eye evolved into being, they will generally say that it started out as some cells on the skin that were sensitive to light. Well, how did it go from there to being the amazingly complicated and perfect organ that is the eye? Is that even possible? They don't know. Just set aside whether or not it actually happened or not. Is it even theoretically possible? And how might it have happened? They can't describe in any detail the process by which it even theoretically might have happened. They only assume it because they take evolution for granted. But if a human eye cannot evolve from some light-sensitive skin, then evolution is impossible. And so therefore they have to prove that such a process is at least theoretically possible, which they can't do. But that's not a problem for them. They simply work backwards and say, well, evolution is true, so it must have happened somehow. And they're content with that answer. But that's not science at all. So why does modern man entangle himself in this upside-down world of Alice in Wonderland science? It's simply because he can't believe the opening words of Scripture, "In the beginning, God made heaven and earth." But if they looked at it objectively, they would see that creationism is actually the true scientific explanation for the world. In science, a hypothesis is generally accepted to be true if it explains all of the observed phenomena, if it is internally consistent, if it has no major objections to it, no major problems, and especially if it is the only explanation that anyone has come up with. For example, the current theory about the sun is that it is an enormous nuclear reaction that explains the various spectra of light that come from the sun and the very high temperatures and so on. There is no major objection to that theory, and there is certainly no credible competing hypothesis. And so it is generally accepted that the sun is a nuclear reaction, and it's almost certainly true. Now think about creationism. To say that an all-powerful and all-wise God created this world to be a home for man to work out his salvation is perfectly possible and credible and consistent. It has no inherent problems or contradictions. It answers everything about why the world is the way it is, and especially why man exists here on earth. Evolution, by contrast, is full of contradictions, and it explains almost nothing, and it has no proof supporting it, and it has a very good competing theory in creationism. And so the truly scientific explanation for the world is not evolution, it's creationism. So let us not only be good Christians, but also good scientists as well, because the same God made us both of those things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.